That's right, folks. Another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we are going to discuss five free agent moves that made the NFC South better for fantasy football. On the show, really, today, I'm thinking Derek Carr going to the Saints. Yes, we don't want to admit it. Baker Mayfield, joining the Tampa Bay Bucks, Miles Sanders. You have Jamal Williams. You have a bunch of fantasy implications. And today we're going to cover all of them and some of the biggest moves that are going to impact you in 2023. Before we do, make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. We have great written content for every sport you need. We have baseball, hockey, basketball, and of course, football all year round. So jump over to Razzball.com and check it out. But today's show is the NFC South five most impactful free agent moves starting right now. That's right, folks. She's back once again. It's Keelan Blue. You can follow her at Keelan underscore 12 foot on Twitter. What's going on, Keelan? You're on mute, Keelan.
My bad. I was just saying I'm glad that we're here to talk about the NFC South under different circumstances than last time.
Things are looking better. The division went from to
right, yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good description. I feel like that's like a realistic, like, okay, yeah. There's stuff.
The biggest thing I learned this offseason, the salary cap is a figment of our imagination. It is not real, and it doesn't exist because you have a team like the Saints who went out and got Derek Carr. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago, like they have no money. And then you have the Tampa Bay Bucks who kind of feel like a team that couldn't do anything, and they didn't do anything, and they traded players. So it's been interesting to say the least. Before we dive into all this stuff, anything stand out the most to you for the NFC South or your Saints, for example?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I know we talked about the possibility of Derek Carr joining, and yeah, I mean, that stood out to me, obviously, just in good and bad ways. But I think I know one other thing we talked about with the Saints is what's going to happen with Michael Thomas, and it looks like Michael Thomas is staying at least one more year and was a part of getting Derek Carr to join the Saints. So yeah, that part is very interesting to me, and I'm curious to see how that turns out. Hopefully good, but we'll see.
Absolutely. And you know what? We'll do that. We're just going to go right to the Saints. We'll talk a little bit about New Orleans and obviously the key ones that really went into this offseason. Of course, Derek Carr signs for a decent sized contract, 4 years, $150 million, $60 million guaranteed. They also were able to retain Jameis Winston as a backup, which yeah, I think a lot of us are interesting to see that he was willing to just accept the backup role. I think he could have got a shot to maybe compete somewhere. Jamal Williams is probably the biggest splash here from a fantasy standpoint in the sense that Alvin Kamara, we now have a plan in place. If Alvin Kamara gets suspended, we know Jamal Williams is going to be the guy now in New Orleans. Michael Thomas restructured, gets his deal back, restructures his contract, gets that 1 year, up to $15 million in his contract. Now you have Chris Olave and Michael Thomas go along with Juwan Johnson, who was re-signed as well. So what's other than Derek Carr, what other things stand out to you for this New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I hate it, kind of, but I'm definitely like a Michael Thomas believer. It gets hard over time because, I mean, what, he's played in like 10 games over the past 3 years. So, yeah, it's tough, but I would at least like to see him have one successful season with the Saints again, or one more. So I'm really interested, hopefully if he's healthy, to see how that turns out with Chris Olave, with Derek Carr there. You know, I don't know that I'd recommend for people to pick up Michael Thomas. I probably would just because I'm Michael Thomas build, but I'm excited to see, you know, what he does. Hopefully good things. But
well, with the Saints now, they never have been this. I know with back like 10 years ago when Drew Brees was in his prime, they threw the ball a ton, but they really haven't over the last half decade been really pass heavy.
That is true.
And adding in Derek Carr is nice. It's going to stabilize that quarterback position, maybe increase the pass volume a little bit. But when you insert a talent like Michael Thomas, it is going to impact Chris Olave a little bit. I mean, when you look at the vacated targets, it's Jarvis Landry and that's really it. Like, those are the two guys. Like, Jarvis Landry is one of the main guys who actually gave up targets. And it's like 71 vacated targets. Okay, he could slip into that role without impacting Olave. But the other aspect, too, is you got Rashid Sneed, who, you know, I think we all forgot about last time, a young up-and-coming guy who looked pretty good in a vertical threat role for this offense. So if he takes another step, then you have Michael Thomas. It could impact Chris Olave, who basically monopolized all the targets last year because no one else was around. Yeah. So I do think that's something to think about. But I think if Alvin Kamara does get suspended, Jamal Williams is not going to fill that pass game role. So that might open up more targets for those guys. But any final thoughts about the Saints before we move on?
No, not really. I mean, it is a step up from Andy Dalton. So
hey, good luck. That's his fellow ginger. Just keep it light. The future started for the Carolina Panthers, baby. Anyway. All right, so the Atlanta Falcons, obviously, this team still seems like they have a lot going on. They have $39 million still of cap space left, so it looks like they could still make some moves. They brought in Taylor Heinicke, and the first thing Taylor Heinicke says is that he's here to back up Desmond Ridder. I have no idea what that makes me feel like, but it makes me feel something. I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, if Desmond Ridder's the guy. Obviously, I like – Taylor Heinicke is serviceable enough that as long as he's outperforming, as long as Desmond Ridder's outperforming him, I'm like, okay, I have some confidence for them moving forward. But other than that, you still have, you had the trade of Jonnu Smith, which is, I don't care what anybody says, that is not a good thing for Kyle Pitts. Not most teams in the NFL don't run two tight end sets over 50% of the time. So it's going to impact Kyle Pitts maybe a little bit, maybe not as much as we think, but I still think it's not a good thing. They did bring back some offensive linemen, but the one thing area they haven't touched is running back. So Tyler Allgeier, Cordell Patterson, what's your thoughts about the Atlanta Falcons moves so far this offseason?
Yeah, so I also was really interested in the Jonnu Smith move just because, I mean, he's coming off sort of a black hole of two seasons. I saw like he's only had one touchdown in his seasons with the Patriots. And to compare that to when he was with the Titans, I think it was 8 touchdowns in one season. And, you know, you can see the same for the rest of his stats. And I know he will be reunited there with Arthur Smith, who was his coach at the Titans for the tight ends. So I only see improvement there unless something happens, which I agree for Kyle Pitts. That's, and I've read the same things like, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll work together. But it's like, how? So, yeah, I'm really curious how that's going to work out. You know, you never know with these things, but I don't see Jonnu Smith doing – I don't see him doing any worse than he has been doing. So I would think only up from there. But we'll see.
We kind of saw Arthur Smith with Jonnu. He had 8 touchdowns, which was nice, but he had 448 yards.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't double, like he had – So I just feel like the biggest problem I have is, yes, as of today, they don't have receivers. Okay, touche. You can make the argument that they don't have a number two receiver that we really care about for fantasy football and in general. But think about Dallas Goedert and when they had Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz in Philadelphia, right? That was like the pinnacle. That's like the best you'll ever see. And okay, yes, that's the outlier. Like that. Yeah. Other than that, that has never been a case where two tight ends can coexist. Maybe Jonnu's a backup to Kyle Pitts. Maybe Kyle Pitts' injuries have worried the Falcons and they wanted to bring in somebody they could trust like Jonnu Smith. But Jonnu's as a weapon. So he ate into Hunter Henry's production, which, by the way, when we get to the AFC East, I do like this move for Hunter Henry because now he's monopolizing those tight end targets. But we saw this just a few years ago. Anthony freaking Firkser had 53 targets to 65 for Jonnu Smith. And when they split work under Arthur Smith previously. So it might cap Kyle Pitts' ceiling just a little bit. Any final thoughts about the Falcons before we move on?
None.
All right. Carolina Panthers. Obviously, the headliner here is Andy Dalton. Like, as a
your fellow ginger,
We need to keep gingers on the field as much as we can. And I appreciate that Andy Dalton signs with them. He's probably at least a pull. They're obviously got the number one overall pick. They traded DJ Moore, a 2 firsts and 2 seconds to get up to that number one pick. They'll get their pick of Young, CJ Stroud. You name the quarterback, they'll probably have him. Great. Andy Dalton's there for an emergency. I get that. Miles Sanders is extremely interesting. You have, you know, the loss of Deontay Foreman, You bring in Miles Sanders. Now, I do want to bring up the fact that Frank Wright was the OC for him was Nick Sirianni. So Nick Sirianni was the head coach for the Eagles with Miles Sanders. And then Frank Wright gets his head coaching job in Carolina and he brings Miles Sanders in. So at least he feels that he could be a fit for the scheme that he already kind of knows from Philly. So that's probably good news for him. And plus Devonta Foreman just signed with the Bears. So now we're not worried about too much cluster in that backfield. The next thing is Hayden Hurst. As of today, the receiving core is extremely light. So you can look at Hayden Hurst as a potential. I know that the Colts of the past have loaded up on tight ends and they've thrown everything from Mo Alie-Cox to Jack Doyle to Kylan Granson to you name it, Jelani Woods. There hasn't been one tight end, but maybe Hayden Hurst cracks that trend for this offense. And finally, they brought up Bradley Bozeman at center. So what's your thoughts about the overall offseason so far for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, I have to acknowledge Andy Dalton because we always do, and he's your fellow ginger, and just God bless his role as a journeyman here. He knows what he's doing. But yeah, I think the Miles Sanders move stood out the most to me. I mean, he had to kind of get out, I guess, for Rashad Penny. So this is where he landed. I think it's going to be an improved move for them. So I'm excited to see how that is. I know we talked about the salary cap, but I was sort of like low-key curious if they would still even try to bring Foreman back. But yeah, you're right. He's gone now because I saw some kind of rumors of that. And then I think also, you know, the Deuce Staley connection too for Miles Sanders will be interesting. Yep. And hopefully that'll have a positive impact on him there. But I think that's a good move. I'm excited to see that.
You know, the good news is Foreman's gone. He's vacated 203 carries. So there's something that Miles Sanders can step into. But like I said before, Frank Wright, I do love the fact that there is continuity for Sanders there. The other thing is DJ Moore is vacating 118 targets. So there isn't anybody like Terrence Marshall probably is the leading guy. You have LaVisca Chenault, Shai Smith. But I do feel like when you have this young quarterback, they still have $16 million worth of cap. Could they go get a wide receiver? Maybe. But they don't have a second-round pick because of the trade. So it's, like, interesting to see if they go out and use, a third round or a day three pick and try to load up on those guys. I think at that. So, Mr. Scampers, by the way, we love you, man.
Mr. Scampers.
He's throwing out there, made it hurt. You're right, buddy. We love you. Appreciate you, man. Obviously, totally gets that. Awesome. But so overall for the Carolina Panthers, I think Frank Wright, if it's not like they have – Jacksonville had to just get in my brain for a minute – Frank Wright is the kind of stabilizing hand that could do a Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Peterson type jump. Frank Wright is that good offensive mind, but they don't have the quarterback. So the rookie will probably have his hiccup. So it's probably not going to be that kind of leap. But this is definitely, I think, in a dynasty sense, a team that I'm going to want to invest in long term because I do Frank Wright gets his quarterback of his choice. And I think they start building up that receiving core over the next few years. Yeah. All right, let's go to the last one down here in the Tampa Bay Bucks. And this one's sad and lonely as Baker Mayfield drifts across the screen by himself, essentially. Now, I did not add in here Chase Edmonds signed as well. I do think that Baker Mayfield comes in. He's probably got the early lead. I think the Bucks know that they weren't going to get a shot at a quarterback this year. They're probably not going to get one of those four guys. And they're like, all right, well, and Todd Bowles doesn't have the job security that most quarterbacks coaches do, and now they have a new OC. Now, the one thing I will say is at least that Dave Canales, the new OC for the Tampa Bay Bucks, he comes from under Shane Waldron, who, by the way, coached under Sean McVay. So at least that maybe there's something there where he saw something with McVay's offense. He's like, you know what? We do a lot of the same things. Bring him over. We can definitely make this work. But I think Rashad White, that signing of a guy like Chase Edmonds says to me that Rashad White has a really good shot at cracking that first team. You know, dominating touches at running back. And then there hasn't been a lot of shift elsewhere. I mean, Cameron Brate's gone, but other than that, it's a lot of the same guys. So what's your thoughts about the Bucks offseason?
Oh God. I think like you said, it's just kind of, I don't know. I think we talked about this last time, just like it is what it is. I honestly don't really have a lot of thoughts. I am interested, you know, how that transition will go for Baker Mayfield after having had some experience with the Panthers too, and if that'll influence anything with the Buccaneers. He has some insight having recently been with them, if not for that long, you know? So I'm curious to see what that'll do. But overall, I'm like trending downwards in general.
And, that's the right response to have. I mean, if you look at this team right now, it's the right response to have. But the other problem is that they have their offensive line. They lost Donovan Smith and Shaq Mason, and they haven't been able to replace those guys because they don't have any money.
Yeah.
So they have about $6 million in cap space right now. And what are they going to do with that? So they're going to, the offensive line's in transition. Now, if Baker, by the way, Kyle Trask still has a shot to beat Baker. Baker is not something that comes in. He didn't get money to be the number one guy. So Kyle Trask could still win that job, but you have Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and Cade Otton.
That's right. Rashad
White. So that's a solid core four of players. So whoever wins that job at least has weapons, but that offensive line is going to be a problem. So
yeah,
I think overall fading Tampa Bay, not being too excited for them, probably would be the smart move here. But Mr. Scappers, we do appreciate you for watching. Would have loved James going back to Tampa Bay.
That would have been a twist. Wow.
That would have been fun. Yeah. But I just think that whole organization's just like, hey man, I mean, they went with Baker, so I guess they really, really aren't looking for the easiest, smoothest transition here. But
yeah,
at least we know they're not trying to tank, because Baker is at least a sign that, like, we don't want to completely go to the bottom. So I do think there is some better. Any final thoughts about the division? Any free agent moves? Anything you want to talk about before we go?
No, I am glad. Well, it was going to be interesting to see when it was really sad, but I am glad there have been some things. I'm like, okay, these make sense. And there is something being shown here because, yeah, watching that division is just depressing.
Yeah. And Mr. Scamper's coming in last minute. Ryan Jansen, the starting center, Pro Bowler. Good call. Obviously should help as well. Honestly, next time we'll get you on. We'll get you on video. It'll be even better. But we appreciate you jumping on. Obviously, once again, this is our NFC. These are basically the five biggest moves that made the NFC South. I think Derek Carr, the running backs, Baker Mayfield, you have, you know, Jonnu Smith trade. There was a lot of big time moves that helped this division go from absolutely terrible. So I think there's going to be some fantasy value next year. Make sure you subscribe. We'll be dropping knowledge all off season long for the NFC. We're going to be doing the NFC East, North, and West over the next few days. So make sure you jump on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel to check that out. Now, Keelan, before we close the show, tell the people where they can find your content, what you're doing right now, and what's coming up next for you.
Yes, I am here with the Razzball family on the baseball side, working on mainly the injury report. You can find me on Twitter at @KEELIN_12FT. That's Keelan 12 foot. And yeah, I drop in here occasionally. Thank you, Bobby, for having me.
Always.
To talk about this destruction.
I got to get you on for a different division. I feel like I keep throwing you to the wolves, but I apologize. We'll get you back on again. Well, you know what? Keeps you thinking, right? You're like, I got to think of something good to say about the damn Falcons and Desmond Ridder. So hey,
yes,
it's a nice experience for us to learn to say nice things about shitty situations. We're making people better.
We're at positive.
Exactly. Make sure you guys subscribe, follow. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me at Bobby LaMarco on Twitter. We are out of here.